Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie Uncensored. We have officially moved to Patreon. Here's a sneak peek of Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie. So I was devastated like everybody else was when Matthew Perry died this last week, and added to that, compounded with being totally upset about it because, you know, I watched Friends religiously like every week practically, you know, for 10 years. I felt like I lost a friend, even though I know I didn't. I've never met Matthew Perry, but I really felt like I wanted to do a show and honor him in a way. I wanted to, first of all, discuss the posts that he made in the weeks leading up to his passing. A lot of people had theories about them and what they symbolized, and it was really important for me to understand what Matthew Perry meant by them, because I know he meant something in the way that he wrote them. And the fact that he passed shortly after them, it was like so important to me to get to the bottom of it. And I didn't want to just go off of what, you know, the tabloids were reporting. So I decided to do a deep dive. And I did get to the bottom of what I think he was trying to say at the end of his life. And I did this using multiple tools, but mainly his book that he had released. The book's called Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. And also, of course, some insider intel that had been leaked in, you know, little sections of the press, etc. And then also the fans' impression of Matthew Perry, you know, and what they thought the symbolism meant in his posts, etc. So I took it all in. I spent about, 16 hours on this. And I read his book and I looked at what the fans said, and I read all the tabloid articles and what they had leaked in the medical examiner report, etc., just to try to understand what happened and what Matthew wanted us to take away from those posts. And I felt like that was the best thing I could do to honor his departure, because I am a huge fan of his, and it meant a lot to write this love letter to Matthew Perry. Now, in order for you guys to get to the conclusion that I came to by the end of this show, I have to take you on a journey. And first, we're going to start the journey in a very shallow way. And then I'm going to take you into the deeper layers of Matthew Perry as I peel away the onion. And by the end of this show, you are going to have a lot of information that is going to allow you to come to the conclusion as to what Matthew Perry meant for us to take away the last few weeks leading up to his passing, and perhaps from his passing even itself. Now, what's going to be weird about the way I do this show is that I'm going to take you down a bunch of different paths, and you're going to think I'm coming to a conclusion, but then I'm going to switch it up and backtrack out of those conclusions. That's intentional, because I want you guys to go through the process with me so you can get to the end result that I got to at the end. And in order for me to get to it, I had to do all this. So I'm going to do it for you, with you. But by the end, you're going to see that a lot of paths I introduce in the beginning of the show are going to steer you in a different direction later. And so I wanted to preface this so that at no point in this show should you quit because you think, oh, I'm going to say that's the reason, or that's what he was trying to say. Because I promise you, I will not tell you what Batman or Mattman is until the end. And that is because I have to do it justice. And also, it's very existential. So join me for a two-part rabbit hole. And it is going to be two parts, but you're going to love the ending. It's going to be something that's going to blow your mind. And it's going to give you so much peace in regards to Matthew Perry's passing. All right, let's get started.
Come on, bitch, let's go.
Well, today I thought we would honor Matthew Perry, Matty Perry from Friends. He's passed away in a mysterious way this week. He was found in his hot tub in his house in the Pacific Palisades. He had recently moved from a very lavish house in Malibu and moved to a more quaint but still over-the-top gorgeous house in the Palisades. He seemed to be doing a lot of exciting things and making a lot of changes in his life at the time of his passing. His book is sort of prophetic in a way, in the sense that in the beginning of the book, he starts out by saying, "I should be dead, and think of this book as a way for me to speak to you from the grave, essentially from the other side." And since I chose to listen to his book after his passing, which was sudden and unexpected, this really resonated with me, that potentially he is, in a sense, talking from the other side. I, like many of you, felt really uncomfortable with all the parameters around his death in the hot tub, what they released after the fact. I don't understand some things. You know, how did he only be left alone for 2 hours while his assistant ran errands, and he gets in the hot tub only a few minutes before or shortly before, and then somehow falls asleep in the hot tub, or is sedated and goes to sleep in the hot tub and drowns, or had a heart attack in the hot tub, or other physical ailment that strikes him suddenly in the hot tub, especially after he was playing pickleball earlier in the morning? Now, Matthew Perry had a lot going on at this point in his life. I mean, he wasn't down in the dumps from what people can see. He was seen out and around town, in an upbeat mood, although lethargic, some people commented, but he was still playing pickleball. He had given up, at least in the last 2 years, he had given up smoking and drugs and drinking. He smoked maybe a little bit, but very rarely. He had accomplished all of that, unless he had relapsed, I don't know. But his death is as much of a mystery as he is a complex man. A complicated man, a man who made us all laugh, who was loved by everyone. His book, within days of going out, was on the number one best-selling list, which shows that people needed this book. And the fact that he was lucky enough to write his memoir before his shocking passing is no short of a miracle, given his age, because he's so young. I mean, he was only 54 years old. Now, they said that there were no recreational drugs on the scene of the incident, and he was tested for meth and fentanyl, because nowadays a lot of people are dying from just a pencil tip of fentanyl and anything. And none of that showed up in the toxicology reports that were done so far as part of an initial investigation. Now, he had been out literally 24 hours earlier with a woman by the name of Athena Crosby. And Athena was a model and a journalist. She was very young. She's like in her mid-20s. Gorgeous girl. They were at the Hotel Bel Air, which is a hotel that a lot of celebrities go to because it's kind of low-key, up off of Sunset there. So she was there, and she basically said that he was talking about losing weight, which may explain the weird post that he did with some kind of acorns or something. He does a video on his Instagram about 6 days before he's found in the hot tub. And it's so weird. He's got a hand of nuts, three nuts. They look like acorns. They're red. Nobody can really figure out what they are, honestly. He drops them on a table, and some people believe it is in his hand, and some people believe it is his hand. And everybody is really confused by this post, because it just makes no sense. Because under it, he says, "This is what I've had to eat today. I'm Matt Man." Now, I heard from a patron in Dishing Drama, Dana, that she had seen another influencer post the exact same video, which I tried to find it, but I couldn't. And so I'm wondering, is this some sort of diet trend? I don't know, sucking on these nuts. They don't even look edible. They look like acorns to me without the cap on. So I was just like, what is this? Like, is this some weird like LA fad to eat these nuts and they make you lose weight or something? Anyway, I don't want to get into the theories around this yet because it's a whole thing. But basically everybody's upset because they don't understand what happened. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of clues yet for us to go off of, right? We know he drowned, but we want to know what happened to Matt Perry, considering he was at lunch. And based on this lunch, he was in a great mood. He was talking about losing weight to Athena. He was talking about playing pickleball. That was his new sport that he loved. And in fact, he posted about it days before his death, again, with some sort of Batman shout out. And he called himself Matman in several of the posts. Now, I know that Matthew Perry identified with the character Batman from the comic book series, but it's very strange that the last few posts were all dedicated to Batman and Matman. And I thought maybe it had to do with an artist exhibit that was being done in Los Angeles, which, by the way, Brad Pitt official was promoting at the time. It was a table art book depicting Batman in modern society. It was a bunch of photography. Now, Brad Pitt official, to be clear, is Brad Pitt's sanctioned fan account for Instagram, because some old school A-list actors don't believe in having their own Instagram account because they don't want necessarily direct access to their fans. They want their fans to do it the old school way, which is an official sanctioned fan runs an account and they get permission to put things up or not. And they're given special stuff by the celebrity to put up, and it makes their account very popular, and some get paid and some don't. But anyway, so I thought maybe Matthew Perry had somehow been reached out by this artist and he was doing some sort of promotion but hadn't had a chance yet to finish it. But when I looked at the photos of Batman in this photography book, which was being promoted by Brad Pitt official around the same time that Matt's doing these posts, it had absolutely no overlap. There was not one photo that he posted that was in the book. There was no tie to it outside of the Batman theme. Now, Batman was a character that Maddie had an association with, and he would often feel a kindred connection to the Batman character in comic books, like I feel maybe a kindred connection to Barbie. And so it was interesting that he was using his Matman. And I would say that that was something he probably did a lot. Like, you know, for us as like outsiders, it's like, why is he doing it? But probably insiders have some sort of feeling about him calling himself Matman. But anyway, so I don't know. Athena sees him. She's really shocked also, because she's like, he's in a really great mood. Everything is happy. So obviously she wasn't going to talk. Then she decided to. So that leads me to believe that she doesn't believe that he was in a negative way contemplating taking his life or doing something self-destructive. Because that would be the only reason you would come out with seeing him if you weren't going to come out before. It's that everybody's theorizing that he was in a bad state of mind from the posts that he's making under the Matman moniker. The morning that Matthew Perry passes away, he's playing pickleball. So a lot of people like me immediately thought, because he's been taking prescription medicine, probably to deal with some of his health issues and maybe his addictions or whatever, I don't know, but that maybe he had taken a sedative of some sort and fallen asleep in the hot tub or got cold and went in the water, because that happens a lot when you're taking drugs of any kind, whether they're recreational or sanctioned by a pharmaceutical company. So I was like, maybe he got cold, because sometimes that happens, and he got in the hot tub and then he fell asleep. But then I read that Matthew Perry had been playing pickleball hours before he was found in the hot tub. So he was doing a sports activity. That doesn't lead me to believe he's going to go home and take a sedative and then get in the hot tub. It's just weird. So now I'm thinking, okay, maybe that theory, although has happened to quite a lot of people, by the way, Whitney Houston, Jim Morrison, from the Doors, Bobby Christina Brown, Aaron Carter, and frankly, some people that are in their 20s that know friends of mine have taken a sedative and gone to sleep, a regular like sleeping medicine, and just fell asleep in the tub and then couldn't wake up and drowned. And I guess I want to say this to you guys, because be careful. Do not take any medication ever and get in a tub. Or drugs. Don't get in the tub. So I was kind of confused about this. I'm like, Well, it makes sense that he could have taken a sedative and fell asleep in the tub. But then at the same time, you don't generally do that after you feel really good playing pickleball for a few hours. I mean, if you guys don't know, Matthew Perry was like a tennis champion when he was young, when he was 13, 14, 15 years old. He almost could have done it professionally. That's how good he was at tennis. It's upsetting to me because obviously had he gone the route of tennis, over comedy and the entertainment industry, he would have been an athlete and potentially maybe wouldn't have developed a taste for alcohol, because you have to know that he started drinking very young. He was about 14 years old, and he then got so bad that by the time he was 18 years old, he was drinking every single day. Now, I love Matthew Perry for another reason, which is Matthew Perry was born in Williamstown, Massachusetts, August 19th of 1969. So he is a Masshole like me. I wasn't born in Massachusetts, but I was raised most of my childhood there. And so I love anybody born from Massachusetts. Any places I've got a connection to, I love those people. His mother was Suzanne Marie Morrison. She was a Canadian journalist and a press secretary, very impressive, to Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau. And his father was John Benet Perry, who was an American actor and model. Matthew Perry's granddad was a businessman, a bank director, and considered a civic leader in Massachusetts. His name was Alton Perry, another impressive individual. But it wasn't easy. Matthew Perry's parents, John Perry and his mom, Suzanne, got divorced when he was only 1 year old. So he never really had that cohesive family. Then, of course, Suzanne, being obviously a very bright lady, she goes and marries Keith Morrison, who is an NBC News correspondent. He also, I think, did Dateline, as I've read, Dateline in 2021. Matthew Perry lives with his mom most of his life in Canada until he gets older, and then he moves with his dad, Perry, which must have had a big influence on him, because now he's living with his dad, who is an actor, versus his mom, who was a journalist. When he moves to his dad's area, it becomes very difficult to compete at a really high level for tennis because it's very competitive where he moves to in Ottawa and later in Los Angeles as well. He ends up going to boarding school, and I do think part of this is because he is a troublemaker. There are stories that when he was 10 years old, he was misbehaving, he stole money, smoked, and he wasn't focusing on his school. He even beat up Justin Trudeau, who, it's funny, wrote this really touching tribute to Matthew Perry. However, Justin Trudeau was like beaten up by Matthew Perry, so I don't know why he was writing such a tribute, but whatever, it is what it is. I'm not suggesting he's chasing clout or anything. Or maybe I am. Back in 2017, Justin Trudeau challenged actor Matthew Perry to a rematch fight of their elementary school situation. Matthew Perry basically said on Jimmy Kimmel about Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada, he said, "My friend, who was also in the fifth grade in Canada, reminded me that we actually beat up Justin Trudeau. We both beat him up. I think he was excelling in a sport that we weren't, so it was pure jealousy." Matthew said, "I think he was the only kid in school that we could beat up. You know, I'm not bragging about this," he said. "This is terrible. I was a stupid kid. I didn't want to beat him up." Justin then at the time took to Twitter and said, "I've been giving it some thought. And you know what? Who hasn't wanted to punch Chandler? How about a rematch at Matthew Perry?" Matthew Perry never responded to his tweet. And then, of course, Trudeau writes this really touching farewell message to Matthew Perry. He said, "Matthew Perry's passing is shocking and saddening. I'll never forget the schoolyard games we used to play." Safe fight. "And I know people around the world are never going to forget the joy he brought them. Thanks for all the laughs, Matthew. You were loved and you will be missed." And this is sent on October 28, 2023. So Athena Crosby, the girl that he was with that I mentioned earlier at the Bel Air Hotel, said, "I'm so devastated from his death, but felt it was in poor taste to talk about it publicly, as the attention should not be on me, but rather on him and his legacy. And he was extremely private person, and I always respected that in our friendship. But indeed, we were friends, and I was one of the last people to speak to him and see him before he passed." Now, Matthew Perry says in his book that almost all of his quote-unquote friends that he had that looked very similar to this beautiful girl, she was, by the way, I think Miss Teen of something, were friends with benefits. And he would give them this long speech where he would say, "I want no commitment. I'm a broken man. I don't know how to relate to people. I just want to have fun. If you don't want to just have fun, then I'm not for you. And this is a no strings attached relationship and all this crap." And so then the women that would stick around, he would be friends with under those terms. And the women that didn't, he actually liked more, but they would walk out of his life and he wouldn't do anything about it. So I thought I'd share that with you at this point in the podcast. So Athena gave this quote to most of the tabloids: "I want to emphasize that Matthew was in extremely good spirits and talked to me enthusiastically about the things he had coming up in his life. He was so happy and vibrant. No, that man was on a comeback and truly deserved more time on this earth. Our entertainment industry has truly lost a legend. Rest in peace." Now, she wasn't romantic with Matthew Perry, she said, but they had mutual friends and they had become friends. And that makes a lot of sense because Matthew Perry stated that he wasn't really looking to have romantic relationships at the moment because he was working on himself. And in the past, he had been with some fabulous women and just couldn't make it work, probably because of his disease. And make no mistake, alcohol and drugs are a disease when you can't stop. She wanted to pivot the conversation towards his grieving friends and family and away, I think, from the conversations of theories about his post before he died. And that is why I believe she made this statement. Now, I did want to understand what were the fans saying about these posts. You know, and everybody is digesting Matthew Perry's death in a different way. Some people feel like that is completely disrespectful to have a conversation about how he died. It's not proper to speak about the dead after they've been, you know, passed. Some people are like, "Look, I need to do this. This is like, I grew up with Matthew Perry in my living room and I need to mourn his death my own way. I need to understand what happened to him." You know, unfortunately, when you're a public figure at the A-plus level that Matthew Perry was, you have to understand that although they're private people and their family are private and their friends are private, they also belong to the community in a sense. And everybody is mourning Matthew Perry. I mean, really, truly, I know people who just like stopped what they were doing and like didn't function for the rest of the day when they heard about Matthew Perry, not because they met him or knew him, but because they were so impacted by, they felt like they knew him. They were so impacted by Friends. And he was one of the most popular character on Friends. Everyone loved him. Everybody wanted to be Courtney Cox's character, Monica, with him. So fair enough. And that's why I'm doing the show today, because I'm one of the people who needs to understand what happened to him. Now, I know he was in poor health from his book, and I'm going to talk about some of the highlights from his book because I did read it to do this show. Matthew Perry's assistant who found him in the hot tub originally reported this drowning as a cardiac arrest. Let me play the 911 call for you.
"You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah. We all artists, man. We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gotta lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it, take that shit serious.
Engine 23, Rescue 23, MS9 all on radio. It's part of the drowning process for a few times.
I mean, I don't hear cardiology mentioned in there, although that's what everybody reported the assistant put forth. It just says someone's drowning in the hot tub. So a source said that no drugs were found at the scene. The authorities ruled out foul play. They went on to suggest that there were pills in the property to do with antidepressant, anti-anxiety medications, and also chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. Some stars, I guess, said that they had an opposite opinion of Matthew Perry. They felt that Matthew Perry was acting fatigued when they saw him leading up to his passing. I looked up COPD, and it refers to a group of diseases that causes airflow blockage and breathing-related problems. It includes emphysema and chronic bronchitis. COPD makes breathing difficult for 16 million Americans who have the disease. And this must be why people were saying that they believe for sure that he died of a heart attack in the hot tub. However, when you look into it, there is an increased risk of mortality due to arrhythmia, myocardial infarction, and congestive heart failure compared to people who don't have this, but it's not necessarily a slam dunk that it's a heart failure or heart attack. However, some people get misdiagnosed and they're actually suffering symptoms of heart failure, and actually it turns out and they're misdiagnosed with COPD. The County of Los Angeles released a medical examiner report, and it was released last Sunday when Matthew Perry's body was allowed to be picked up by his parents. So I guess, I mean, it could be a heart attack. That would explain maybe he was playing pickleball and it was too much for him and his body was run down. He had a lot of health issues. I'm going to get into that in a minute, but I want to talk about page 250 of his book. In his book on page 250, it says, "Who am I going to be? Whoever it is, I will take it on as a man who has finally acquired the taste for life. I fought that taste, man. I fought it hard. But in the end, admitting defeat was winning. Addiction, the big terrible thing, is far too powerful for anyone to defeat alone. But together, one day at a time, we can beat it down. The one thing I got right was that I never gave up. I never raised my hands and said, that's enough. I can't take it anymore. You win. And because of that, I stand tall now, ready for whatever comes next. Someday, you too might be called upon to do something important, so be ready for it. And when whatever happens, just think, what would Batman do? And do that." So it would seem that Matthew Perry may not have been screaming for help, but maybe screaming that he was being called to do something, and he was letting everyone know that he was getting ready to answer the call. Now, this is the beginning of me starting to tell you what I think he was trying to tell us at the end of his life. But before we move on to the whole story, which is laid out in his book, I'm going to go through the conspiracy theories. All right. So basically, if you don't know what his posts were, I'm going to quickly tell you what they were. And then I'm going to tell you the symbolism people who believe in the cry for help theory think they mean. Okay, so let's do this. The first one is October 17th. We see a movie theater with projection on it, and it's Batman screens everywhere. We're obviously in Matthew Perry's media room, which is quite impressive, in the Pacific Palisades. It has multiple monitors with Batman on it, like he's watching Batman. And Matt says under it, under this video, "No need to worry, everybody. I've got the streets tonight." Then on October 19th, we see a lit up Batman light in his yard somehow. I don't know how the hell he did it, but there is like a bunch of lights in the Batman shape. And it says, "Sleep well, everybody. I've got the city tonight. Batman." Then he writes, "WTF," on October 21st. That's the caption, "What the F?" And what he sees is a pickleboard scoreboard with Batman logo on it. And it says, "Batman plays pickleball." in the middle. And then we go to October 22nd, and there's a video of him dropping the three acorns I mentioned earlier, or some sort of nut or red thing. I don't know what it is. They look hard. And Matt Perry says, "This is what I've had to eat today. I'm Matt Man." I mean, what? That was a weird one. And then there's on October 22nd, a pumpkin with the Batman logo cut out of the pumpkin with a light in it. And it says, Matt Perry says, "Do you know what I mean?" under the caption of the photo. Do you know what I mean? God, I wish I did, Matt. I wish I did. Then he says, October 22nd, under this caption of a video of the moon is like halfway full. And it says, "Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you?" So Matt Perry says, "Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you?" And then he goes, "I'm Matt Man." So like he's trying to tell us he's Matt Man, Batman. Then he does another one on October 23rd. He says, and this one's really creepy because this is his last post and he is in the hot tub that he dies in just a few days later. And it says, "Oh, so warm. The water swirling around makes you feel good." And then he adds a question mark to the end of it, not a period. So it's like a question, although it's kind of said like a statement. And he says, "I'm Matt Man." And that was really, really spooky because obviously, you know, if I took a picture of myself, you know, in a part of my yard, and then I die a few days later in the same part of the yard, that's going to set people off. They're going to be like, "That's really strange, Dana, that that happened." So that's why, just to be fair, so many people were trying to figure out these cryptic, symbolic messages, all done right before he passes. And to be clear, he doesn't post cryptic messages before then. Okay, so this is not his normal posting, let's just say. And they're not funny, right? So some posts he's done were like funny. Like he had one where he showed a strawberry shake and he writes under it, "Are 50-year-olds supposed to be drinking strawberry quick at an alarming rate?" And that was funny because all of us from his generation, which I'm a part of, love the shout outs to nostalgia. And he's talking about strawberry quick, which was like a big part of our childhood. And it's like funny and it's like written funny. And I get it. But like, what is happening at the end? So I can't say that the people who are speculating on the meaning of his cryptic posts at the end of his life are out of line, because it is weird and they care. They think, what if there was foul play? What if he was robbed and drowned? Even though, you know, we're going to find out more about this, I guess, when the toxicology report comes out. But, you know, those come out months from now. And a lot of the time people will lose interest in them. And so, you know, it doesn't get the attention that when the person first has the incident, it does. So people are really doing this, I think, mainly because they care. So I'm now going to read you the symbolism that some people gave these posts, okay? This isn't the only symbolism, but this was the main one that I saw. "The Batman logo projected on the ceiling one I described was a help me request, like the movie or cartoon where people call for help by projecting the bat sign on the sky. The Batman logo that he shows in the yard was help me, again, another cry for help. The pickleball was him saying something is going to happen the day I play pickleball," which would be really creepy because something did happen the day he played pickleball, right? He passed later in that afternoon. Then some people believed that the things that he dropped were cranberries. I don't believe they're cranberries. They don't look like cranberries to me. But the people that wanted to give it that symbolism said, "I will commit suicide by drowning myself like the Cranberries lead singer." That's a stretch, but okay. Then there was the pumpkin with the Batman carving in it and the light. And it said, "It will happen at Halloween," was their belief, that he was saying, whatever's happening to me is going to happen on Halloween. And then he shows the moon and they said, well, that means that he was going planning on something happening or thinking something was going to happen on the full moon, which was October 28th, the day that he died. And then they show the tub and that is the last post. And that's the last post because it's where he's going to actually die or have or end his life or whatever you want to think. I mean, who knows? Some people are saying it's, you know, him worried someone's going to kill him. Another person's like, you know, this is him saying, this is how I'm going to do it. And I'm giving you a cryptic post to tell you. Other people are like, you guys are all out of your goddamn minds. Like, this doesn't mean anything. Like, this is like, he's a geek and he's a shout out to Batman, Mattman. And, you know, other people are like, no, he's about to announce something. So now you get all the different viewpoints, right? And you have to kind of determine where you fall on them, on the spectrum. Now let's get into his book, because this is fascinating and I don't want it to be lost in all of the intrigue surrounding his passing. For the full scoop, join the Dishing Drama Dana Patreon. The link is in this audio description. It's only $6 a month and you'll get the best information and tea about the things you care about and even the things you don't know you care about. What are you waiting for?